Welcome to Postcard from Potbrad, boys and girls, on a definitely sunny, happy day where I've been to a bank. I'll tell you that story later. And I had a good experience in a bank. Everybody's now having a small heart attack. It's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains. There's still snow on the top, but it's glorious and sunny down here in Poprad, in the east of Slovakia. A great place to come if you want to come and see some nice people like me. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, where they're all whinging again, the Poms are whinging. It's none other than the foreigner from London, Lee Banks.
If you were twins, would you be a pom-pom?
Yeah, you... Well, that's all right. Looking at your hair, you can wear pom-poms.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I tell you what, you're wrong. You might be languishing in snow, but the weather... Did you get me photograph of my summer office?
I did, actually, yes.
Yeah, my summer orifice,
All
that's
right.
How glorious. The sun shines out of it, believe me, when you're talking about me. Yeah.
It's naff, I have to tell you.
That's how beautiful it is here today.
And in Gay Paris, it's none other than the co-founder of the Consumer Action Group, Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello, and it really is beautiful weather here, I have to say. It's great.
Poor old Eric, eh? Yeah, go on. You're a bit sliding away, eh?
No, dear boy. Down here in the valley, it's gloriously hot, sunny. We've turned the heatings off. Nothing's on. I look at the mountains and they've got snow on them.
I know. It just reminds you of your age, doesn't it?
What do you mean? How do you work that out?
You look out and all you can see, it's got snow on the top. You know he's nearly 70.
It's a different shampoo, you get rid of that, actually.
Yeah. That little bit of dandruff and stuff that's on the shoulders of the mountain.
Anyway, a very good day, good evening, good night, wherever you happen to be. Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, on Audio Boot, and the lovely listeners on RTI, of course, and various other places that you might be listening to us around the web. We're glad to have your company. It's a sideways look at the news. I use the term loosely, as it normally ends up as a bun fight. I think we ought to have a little bet on this one of these days, you know.
What?
I've just had a great idea.
Go on.
If Mark and I win a fight, are you up for this, Mark?
All right.
Yeah. If we win a fight on the programme where it's distinctly ding ding round 10 points winners, Mark and Eric, I think Lee should have a haircut.
Yes, but I have to say, just before you do that, because I will not get rid of my pom-poms or my Pomeranians.
Right.
Eh? Right. That first of all, this is like a tag team taking on giant A-stacks.
No, I think he's dead, isn't he? Has he died? Or was it the other one?
Yeah, they're all... No, they're both dead now. Oh, poor old Shirley Crabtree. Yeah,
they've all died as well.
That's right, Shirley Crabtree.
So, hang on, Mark, we're in trouble here. It basically means we're working with a dead man.
Yeah, a tag team trying to beat up a dead man. Real heroes, aren't they? Yeah.
Which takes us straight into the obit section of the programme. Apparently, and I will explain this, it's a children's TV programme, which has been around for ages, called Blue
it's
Peter.
It's an iconic thing that's known across the world.
Yeah, I'm
it's
sure.
It's another icon of British history.
And it's one of the stories that Lee found, which kind of summarises his approach and viewing of television. The Blue Peter dog has died.
Yeah, well, I think it's really sad. See, he does as well.
Well, I tell you, I mean, there's probably loads and loads of children who are crying their little eyes out.
Uh-huh. I bet there's loads and loads of grown-ups are crying their eyes out. It was lovely. It was a golden retriever, and it used to, like, stick its tongue out.
What are you saying? It's it. It was a she, and it was called Lucy. How unkind.
Yeah. It might have been gay.
Oh, my dog. Word.
I've heard of those dogs. I suppose we're just going to be talking about the corpse and the cadaver soon.
Yeah, probably.
Really?
I bet we can stick it out of toilet roll holders.
Yeah. This is all working out well for the rest of the programme because we're going to be digging up bodies later. But another RIP this week, and I have to say, and I use the term which he will disagree with, newspaper, because it was actually registered as a newspaper, which is how it got to be where it was. The Daily and Sunday Sport, they use the term newspaper loosely, it's got to be said, has gone down the toilet. In fact, it was normally in the toilet. It's just gone down the drain. It's probably a better
way. Is that another
way
of saying tits up, actually, for this particular paper? Because that's basically mainly what it had in it.
Well, it was owned by a guy called David Sullivan, who was...
It was built by a bloke called David Sullivan. He didn't own it by the end.
Well, he was co-owner, wasn't he, at the beginning?
Well, he owned it entirely. He just did. He owned it, yeah. He was a good egg. He'd been a pornographer for most of his life, done extremely well out of it.
Yeah.
And he spotted a space in the market that he felt he could fill from his wheelchair.
Yeah, right.
And he did. That's what he did. He went out and filled a gap in the market. And showed everybody what the gap was.
If you want to have a look at this on the internet, boys and girls, I'm sure if you look up the Daily or Sunday Sport, there'll be some archive pictures. And let me tell you the level of journalism involved in this newspaper. World War II bomber found on the moon.
Yeah, so I was there. I was there when we found that World II War bomber up on the moon. We found it. Nobody else found it. It's actually a universe exclusive.
Yeah. Aliens turned our sun into a fish finger.
Well, I tell you what, and the sad thing with that story, that was a really tragic story if you treat it with a bit of respect, because they ate him before they realised it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And of course, you have to put this into we'll put this into context for you, everybody. Lee Banks worked there.
I did. We were the ones that found Elvis was actually not dead at all. He was working in a chip shop on Mars.
Right. Mark and I have been doing our best over the last few months to drag his journalism up to our standard and failed dismally.
Listen, there was nothing wrong with the Sunday Sport and the Daily Sport. They were fabulous papers that did what they set out to do. They were fabulously traditional, like the National Enquirer is a tradition, like Titbits is a tradition, like Chat This Is Fate, like the Daily Star. It's a tradition. I tell you what I'm going to do. This is the God's honest truth. I am going to get hold of English Heritage, and I'm going to say that they should be brought in to protect the Daily Sport. The Daily Sport shall actually they came in to do it. You know what
it should
means.
Be a listed monument, really.
It should be. It should be a listed monument for the future.
Yeah, it should be listed. I agree. It should be listed under Crimes to Humanity.
Humanity?
Yes. Humanity. I'm trying to do the sport style thing, which is rubbish. But apparently, at its peak in 2005, it had a paltry 189,473 readers.
Thing it was that see you're adopting the attitude that this was one of the doyens of British journalism. It wasn't. It was the Beano of British journalism. It was there to do something that television does. It was there to entertain, tell stories, make you laugh, make you cry, make you feel a bit horny. Whatever you wanted to do was there. It wasn't there to tell you about the news. It was made to make you laugh.
And you're saying that television's the same as the Sunday Sport?
I think, I'll tell you what, I've just had my, you know, we're renewing our televisions and making them digital.
Right.
In Britain, yeah. The truth is, they did it on Tuesday. The only benefit I found, and I don't think this is a benefit, is that I now have 18 pornographic channels on my telly rather than the two that I got 40.
I don't believe that for a minute either. But there we go.
One thing you haven't said about Here to the Sport is that although you say there's 189,000 readers it had in its time, of course the majority of the rest couldn't read at all.
That's right, I had pictures in.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Do you know how you did the crossword in the Daily Sport?
You phoned a friend.
You took an egg cup full of water and you sort of painted and the letters appeared.
They were brilliant.
That's
ideas.
Wonderful.
I'll tell you one story I did for them. This is the God's honest truth, brilliant story, and this is the sort of story they did and did so well, was we carried a competition to find somebody who could actually straighten the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a very important engineering project, and I think
of course it is. And it was funny. The sport was funny. That's what it was there. It was there to make you laugh and make you feel like things were just exciting.
He's banging the table again.
And how did they straighten it? They showed it some pornographic images or something, and it straightened magically.
Well, I have to say, Lee, I've got to congratulate your old boss.
Who?
David Sullivan.
Sullivan. Yeah, he's all right. He invented that woman who runs Birmingham Football Club, didn't he?
Well, whatever. But he was a smart guy because he got out. He sold out in 2008.
Yeah.
And he's a smart cookie because he can already see that the internet's going to kill off those sort of printed forms of news. And I think he was smart, and I think a lot of other newspaper owners should just have a word with David Sullivan and sell quickly before the internet kills a lot of you.
I found out why. Actually, before the make this point, I'll go back on that point. Right, you know, you're quite right. Well, actually, the reason the Daily Sport, one reason the Daily Sport has gone into demise is very simply because of the internet. And you know why?
Go on.
Well, very simply because the internet is filled with ludicrously inaccurate stories that are just made up and nothing else but pornography. Quite right, the Sunday Sport suffered.
All right. So basically what you're saying is, as a journalist, you just made stories up and put pictures of pornography alongside them.
Oh, as a marketplace, everybody's decided, well, we could go on the internet and get porn. There's tons of it there. And it's
Oh, God. Anyway, goodbye and good riddance to the Daily Sport.
I just want to point out why it actually closed, and this is true, and it's there in black and white in front of you both, and neither of you have noticed it. This is the reason the Daily Sport closed.
Uh-huh. Can I just ask one thing there, because you've said good riddance to it, but has it actually done any harm? I mean, if some people really enjoyed it, then surely that's...
Well, no, probably that was a bit stern. I go with that one, Mark. You're right.
Well, I didn't agree with its politics. That's the only offence that it ever created, as far as I'm concerned, its political views. Mm. But the one reason it is closed, right, dead simple, dead straightforward, everybody should know, is because it actually took on that nitwit Lembik Opik as a weekly political columnist. No wonder it's shut. He tried being a comedian and got booed off every stage in the world.
He's still making more money than you are. But there's another story. moving along. This Lee will like this because he has old radios, boys and girls.
Yeah,
and he's bemoaning the fact that one day his old valve radios, which actually if he switched them off would save him a fortune in electricity, are all going to die. And it won't be a day too soon. But he's going to love this. Do you remember the old Commodore 64?
I think this is brilliant, yeah. They're another icon. Every story is going to be an iconoclastic thing this week, right?
Oh.
This is an iconoclastic...
I'll give up.
Respect to the computer world.
I give up. Apparently they're going to put a proper computer in the old case of a Commodore 64...
Yeah.
It's going to cost you £364, which is nearly $600, which actually isn't that bad, actually.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, it's not that bad at all.
And it looks classy, it looks stylish, it looks like it's got a bit of Hotchkiss, it doesn't look like a piece of plastic.
Well, Lee's going to like this, because it'll run Windows 7, it's got an Intel Atom D525 chip, normally found in notebooks. It's a 1.8 gigahertz chip, which is faster than the 8-bit 1 megahertz MOS 6502 processor used in the 80s original.
That crossed my mind that they were actually using the same kind of chip. And I thought, really, I don't know. Did you get to the stroke of those chips?
Is this 1st of April? No, it's not.
No, it's not. No.
I understand that people are queuing to buy this, and I mean, somebody sold their place for $900 simply to be the first one to get one.
Yeah, I can imagine it, because it would be very funny to sort of walk into somebody's high tech. Oh, yeah. Imagine walking into a high tech office and seeing Commodore 64s there.
Brilliant. Absolutely.
Cool.
I tell you what, I would love that. I would, yeah.
Yeah.
And you could turn up in your Ford Anglia. Things like that, or your Datsun Ray-Ban, and things like that.
Actually, I know a mate of mine in London who's got a PR agency. Even the toilet in this particular venue is a Lambretta scooter.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a toilet in there. The seating's from either a chopped-in-half Mini or a Lambretta scooter, and the whole place is decked out like it, and it looks fab. Absolutely.
It will do.
FAB.
FAB, Thunderbirds are go, Tracy Island.
You don't spell Thunderbirds with an F.
You do if you're from up north.
I am from up north, and you spell it with a T-H-U, you big, thick summer.
Eric, give me a break.
RTI.
Imagine your future career. Imagine being able to choose not only what you want to be, but when and how you want to train. Train for Trade Skills gives you the chance to build up a career as a plumber, electrician, or gas engineer. We offer practical workshops and blended learning with full tutor support and easy-to-follow step-by-step modules. You can continue to work and earn whilst you train. Train for Trade Skills can help prepare you for your dream career and provide the trade skills you need to consider setting up your own business. Don't just imagine it. Find out how to make it happen today. Visit us at www.trainfortradeskills.tv. Call 0845 055 1005 or text TRADE to 84118 today.
Aqua City Pobra. Chista Voda.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Thank you. Anyway, staying up north with foreigners,
Mr. Rooney.
Yes, Mr. Rooney. He's freaking sick, is Mr. Rooney. And I have to say, and what if you've been on Mars on one of these stories, Wayne Rooney's a player for Manchester United. Last weekend, he looked down the camera lens, having scored a goal, and he went, that word, the F word, into the camera lens. And how stupid, this is journalists for you, and I'm sorry, boys and girls, how stupid can you get? They're going, but he's a role model, and he shouldn't use language like that. It's irresponsible. No, he's not. He's a plonker and a footballer.
I think what actually happened...
Jesus.
I think he just caught an image of himself in the lens on the camera that was looking at him, and it frightened him to death, and he was telling it to go away.
Mark, over to you.
Well, I have to say, I mean, it's we seem to have very strange attitudes to this. I must say, I mean, I think he ought to be more careful, but I compare it with a few years ago when, what's the French player's name, Sadoun, who actually knocked somebody over on the pitch after an argument. And the French president actually came out and supported him.
And punched him.
Yeah, but I think he nutted him, actually.
Yeah. Why, he nutted him? Yeah. The French president nutted him. A football player? That's not Wayne Rooney.
But do you know what really makes me sick over this whole affair? Yeah. That you've got these supposedly comedy-style journalists doing programmes. Listen. They claim to be journalists when they're doing programmes like live news and stuff. And they go on there, they effing blind like crazy. And then they accuse Wayne Rooney of being incorrect for swearing once. And they swear about 10 times in a programme.
You tell me who swears on television, journalists. Who tell me where they are. They've not been. You got that bloke off TV taken off because he said something vaguely rude about putting stuff down the front of his pants. Yeah. And people get sacked for doing that just as much as footballers do. And this bloke's not been sacked anyway. He's only been told he's going to have 2 weekends off.
I reckon the last time you watched television was the last time I bought a newspaper.
I watch television every day. I am addicted to television. I watch Jeremy Kyle, Judge Judy.
Right. Sanitised television for idiots.
Not sanitised at all, is it?
It is. It's sanitised for idiots.
It's only sanitised because they bleep everything, like you bleep me.
Well, you're bleeping useless. So what do we reckon then? Should Wayne Rooney, as a footballer, I use the term carefully, I was going to say something else. He's not media trained. He doesn't know where he's coming from. He's highly strung. That's why he makes all the silly mistakes he does. Is it down to the television company to make sure they don't stick a camera up his nose to wind him up, which is what I think happened? And if so, all the programmes that are on the telly that use the F word, which are dozens and dozens of them in the UK, not in US, that's for sure.
Not in news programmes, they don't, ducky. Metaphorically speaking,
I challenge you to watch 10 o'clock live on Channel 4.
That's not a news programme, dear. That's a comedy programme about the news.
It's a news programme.
Are we a news programme?
Yes.
Then that's a news programme.
Yes.
But we don't swear. Mark's quite capable of swearing. We all know Mark's quite capable of swearing. Even Mark doesn't swear. Bleep, bleep. Yeah.
Wayne Rooney is meant to be a role model. As much as I hate to say it, and as much as I don't like that idea, he is meant to be a role model, and I suppose one has to apply some kind of standards, one has to ask questions. I don't know whether the decision was right.
I want to add to that. I agree with Mark, my friend Mark.
God, they're going to be so sick of frantic this week.
I am going to say, very simply, that you say, Mr. Eric, that Wayne Rooney isn't media savvy or isn't media trained. Well, how much does he earn a week?
About a quarter of a million, isn't it?
It's about a quarter of a million. You can guarantee that he is actually trained for the, to face the media.
No, and I reckon his agent will be trained for the media, not him.
Well, you know what? You don't need training, then, if you are in the public eye and earning that kind of money and are used to being in the public eye, to see a camera and turn to it and think, well, I better not swear. Who's phoning me up now?
I don't know.
That'll be a call centre.
But listen, he's only been given a two-match suspension. I mean, I'm not a football person. Is not that a lot? Is that very serious?
It is, actually, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, how can it be? He just goes out and has a beer with his mates while watches the football.
Yeah, right.
Than playing it.
Anyway, moving along. Clarkson's been in really interesting story with Jeremy Clarkson, I would say the senior host of the UK version of Top Gear, has been in trouble, or has he? Because there's a story that came out that said Jeremy had been a naughty boy. He'd been letting his Willy Wonka run around all over the place without control. But some of...
go on.
You're catching up, Mark. There was an interesting twist to this, which Lee and I loved a bit, in that half the press didn't do anything about it. There was another bit of the press that did do something about it, and the press group that Jeremy works for said, it's a load of rubbish. And I thought, well, if they're saying it's a load of rubbish, there's a lot of strength behind that comment. And why aren't the other newspapers doing it? So what has Jeremy Clarkson done to upset three newspapers out of the dozen that's up there on a regular basis?
I don't think he's done anything to upset them. I don't think it's got anything to do with being upset. You give newspapers emotions that actually don't exist. Newspapers are quite emotionless when it comes to things like this. The simple fact is, a story came out about Jeremy Clarkson, who apparently cheating on his wife. I have no idea whether he's cheated on his wife or he hasn't, but that's what the story says that he is. Mm-hmm. And in that way, the newspaper he worked for, quite rightly, backed him. See, if the newspaper he worked for thought that he had actually done this, they almost certainly would have got rid of him.
Yep.
But they didn't. The BBC's not got rid of him.
No, they won't.
And they've all looked after it. What's happened, there are a couple of newspapers who've gone for it because it's a good knockabout story and it's hitting at yet another postcard from Poprad-style, jokey, Blackpool-type idiot bloke. And
Excuse me?!
He's an idiot! That Jeremy Clarkson's an idiot!
He's an absolute genius.
He's an idiotic genius. He's a wayward genius.
He's a genius. He knows how to attract a mainstream audience. Top Gear 10 years ago was one man and his dog and a couple of petrol heads that used to watch it. Now everybody from grandma down to grandson watches the programme. And it's got multi-million viewership, and it's got such a wide appeal. You can't get a ticket there for months. He's a genius at delivering the programme to petrol heads in a way that the consumer can be attached to it. It's genius.
Everybody loves it. But he has courted publicity deliberately and powerfully for about 3 years now, and he's got away with it. He's said things that have been outrageous. He's been taken to task over them. And the press have dutifully reported everything that has been he said and perpetuated his career. Right? And now a story came out about him. And actually, I have a little bit of information I'll share with you after about what the story is about. But certain newspapers said, well, nah, leave it alone because we don't know what's going on. And they left it alone. I think that's acting properly. Other newspapers...
I've got a request for Jeremy. Jeremy, do your worst. Use your venom on your programme and expose the idiots for what they are.
Yeah, but he won't, because it's not done him any harm. He sailed through this like the Queen Elizabeth. He's just sailed through it, and he's done fine. And it's actually heightened his laddish persona, hasn't it? He's not done him any harm.
So is he a love rat?
No.
Do you want me to tell you the background to this story?
You've got a couple of minutes.
All right. It's basically, there is an organisation called Mistresses Anonymous. And the woman he's supposed to have been with was involved with the owner of that.
Allegedly.
Well, no, I don't think there is anything alleged about
it. Allegedly.
There is allegedly nothing alleged about this story, right? And it looks like it was just a bit of alleged fun on the side of these two women who thought they would allegedly increase the profile of this alleged organisation. Uh-huh. Allegedly. And that's what they did. And bear in mind that Jeremy Clarkson has allegedly been offered an alleged £1 million to become the alleged face of an adultery website.
Really?
So it's a bit of product placement then, really?
Yes.
It's product placement. Yeah, it's simple as that. It's somebody jumping on Jeremy Clarkson's fame, and it hasn't done him any harm, whether he
Have they got any vacancies?
What, you want to become Jeremy Clarkson's lover? Wait till he's finished with his life and this one.
I can be a love rat.
Oh, amazing.
I'd rather be a love pig.
There's just no answer to that, is
there? No, you didn't have to laugh at that one, Mark, because I didn't think it was funny.
Sorry. Withdraw laughter. Withdraw laughter.
Thank you.
By the way, boys and girls, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do via the Facebook page called Radio. It's very easy to do so, or via RTIFM or your local radio station. In part two, we've got Banks.
Me?
Not Lee.
Am I on?
Not Lee. Oh. We've got Banks.
Yeah, me, is it?
We've got Banks. We've got buses. We've got France, who doesn't understand the internet, clearly, and we've got the pensioner from Georgia, who managed to cut off the internet in Armenia. How clever is she? We'll be back fast, and you can make a milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even pop to the little girl's room.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.